Okay, we're going to be finishing off Be'ezer Hashem, the Perek now. And for next week, we're going to be doing a Pesach Sugya. And getting back to Erech and after Yom Tov from Mitzvah Hashem. So the Mishnah brought down, we're on the Zayin on the Beis, the Mishnah brought down that if a woman is killed, so the Mishnah says, Nanim Bis'ara, you're allowed to benefit from the hair. The hair is permitted by Noah. So the Gemara wants to know, why is that, what's the heter of benefiting from the hair? Now the Isra Noah from a woman who dies, who's being killed, is not different, l'chayra, than anybody who dies. It's not like a Shara Niska l'havdo, where the Shara is also b'hanoah, al Shara Niska. A woman who's being killed, the isra to have anor from her hair is the same, like it would be if a woman died naturally, because the isra anor to have anor from a dead person, from any part of a dead body. In fact, that's the whole shaila in the poskim about using organs from a dead body for transplantation, because a mace is also b'anor. So there's a lot of svaras to be mater in cases where it's a pikuach nefesh, it's a svara to be mater. There's another svara to be mater from a vunterman, zichet tzadik levrocha, that the isra hanor from a mace is only so long that it's dead. But when you go and you make a transplant, you're really making like a tchis mesim on that evil. So you're not really having hanor from a dead body. You're giving life to that organ. So now that organ is alive. So you're not having anor from a mace, pteris mace. So we'll have to see what that logic, what's the svara behind that. But, so the Gemara now wants to know, why would it be permitted? Says the Gemara of Amai, why you let have anor from the hair? L'chayr, it's yisuri anor ninu. It's yisuri anor. You're not allowed to have anor from any part of a dead body. Omarav, Boimeres tenu sari libiti. Gemara in the Havamin at least holds that the woman went and said, give my hair to my daughter. Okay? What's the Havamin of the Gemara? Why would that be permitted? So at this point it sounds like, I mean, it's definitely a big chiddush. But it sounds like the Gemara is saying the reason why you can't have anor from a dead body, because it's gezel. It's like stealing. So although the deceased individual, all the property that they own goes birusha, the estate is yashin by the relatives, but the goof of the mace forever remains their own personal property. And that's something you can't use because it's like zela. If that's the reason, then the Gemara makes sense. So she said, here, take my hair. Enechanami, the Yoshim don't yashin the hair. But now there was a mitzvah of kind of remes. And the mace said, it's okay, I'm giving my hair to my relative. That's l'chayr to have a mean of the Gemara. Because if the Isra Hanor from a mace has to do with Yeridaya, that a mace is also b'hanor, like Basa b'cholov, then what does it help that she said, take it? And l'chayr, that's the Gemara's question. Because the Gemara asks, on this the Gemara says, what do you mean? Says the Gemara, Ilom watanu yadi lebiti mi avinu lo. And if the woman would say, take my arm, the woman would tell the relatives that after I die, you can use my arm. Would the arm be mutar b'anor? What does the Gemara mean to ask? The Gemara means to say, it's not a monetary issue. If it would be monetary, then it should follow through. She could say, use my arm, use my leg, use whatever you want. So the Gemara is assuming now that there was no such authority. Because it's a Yeridaya halach. We'll get back to see if this really was the Havamina as drastic as I'm saying it. It definitely reads that way. The Parshat reading of the Gemara, the way it reads, it seems that the Gemara is saying that if she gives a dictate to use her hair, it's because there's no monetary issue. Says the Gemara, Omar Av Popa, we have to make a Nukimta. We've exhausted the possibility of you being able to use her hair. Can't use the hair of a mace. It must be Bepeya Nochris. We're talking about a shetel. We're talking about a wig. So the wig already, you can use. So now, obviously, the question is, if it's a wig, what's the problem? Well, Moshe, big day hamace, right? The clothing of a mace is mutabano. Even the clothing that the person dies with is mutabano. And that's kepaskin daloch lamais in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Muktzah, Hilchas Shabbos. That if a mace dies on Shabbos, so normally you have to put a oichel or something to be able to move the body, because the body is muktzah. But the Shulchan Aruch pask is if the body is clothed, so you can move the body anyway, because the clothing is not also ba'anoah, the clothing is not muktzah. So l'chayra, a wig, is a beged. Why should it be also? So we'll soon see some place can actually hold l'maisa that way. They hold a wig is like a beged, which we'll see the challenges of learning that way. But that's the one way. Says the Gemara, time of the omgo tenu. Holayomgo tenu gufo umitza. She didn't say tenu, so now it's also. Because gufo. Now this is very difficult. Why in the world would it be gufo? It's not gufo. The wig is not her body. The Gemara is saying that from here we could derive that Taka, if a woman doesn't say, take my wig, then the wig is bottled to the body. Posha Taishin, the Gemara is, then the wig and the body is one. But it's not true. The wig and the body is not one. It's a separate, it's a beged. What's the Havamina? Not only Havamina, the Gemara doesn't really crawl out of this completely. Because the Gemara now says, what do you mean? Ba'omi boy lay la rabbi yosi ba rab chanina. The boy Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina Sal Noshim Atzidkoni Yismahu. Are you allowed to benefit from the hair of the Noshim Tzidkoni Yis? This means in the Iran Idachas, where a city is worshipped of a Nizora, and you have in there an individual who happens to be there who did not worship of a Nizora, the aloch is that they get saved physically, but the money gets consumed with the city. They're not allowed to use. The money of the tzaddik is also as well. Because it says, it's kol shlolo. L'rabbi shlal tzaddikim. So even the tzaddikim in the city, the whatever they possess has to be destroyed. L'rabbi shlal tzaddikim. So the Gemara says over here, so over there he has a shayla if you can use the shetel. So you see that it's not so posh that a shetel is part of the body. Because if we part of the body, so then what's the shayla? Of course, it's mutter ba'anor. V'omar rove bepeh nochus. Come you by the shayla is by peh nochus. Says the Gemara, we can make a distinction. Ki come you by le Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina de toli besikse. When Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina have a shayla, that if it's just pinned. It's not properly connected to the head. It was a more permanent way to put on the wig where it would sit very solid on the head. If it sits completely solid on the head, like today they have a wigs, you could get fitted, right? It's there to stay. So then, hocha de mechaber bo, it's connected completely. Taim edom otenu, olam otenu gufa umitzim. That's the Gemara. So really the Gemara, Mereshav Ad Gemir is very difficult. Very difficult. We can maybe swallow the Havamin of the Gemara, that the Isser of Sar, and the Isser of every part of the body is only Al Kazela. There is, by the way, a Noda Behuda who holds Awela Maise. There's a Tshuva Noda Behuda, in which he discusses that one of the reasons why you can't have Anor from a body is because the body is a possession of the mace, and it doesn't go be Yerusha. Just like the Gemara says, by a daughter, the father has rights and his daughter has an Omo of Leah. So the Gemara says that the father does not moirish his daughter to his son. Oysam levneichem v'loy b'neiseichem levneichem. So there's an exemption. A daughter doesn't go be Yerusha to the sons. So meaning if a father dies, he leaves a ketana. The boys don't have a right to sell the ketana as an omov ghiyo. So we find concepts, conceptually, where you can have no Yerusha. So it's not so difficult to learn the havamin of the Gemara, that if the woman authorized the use of her hair, that it's permitted, it's because the Isra Hanoh is because they don't own it. That's not so difficult. But once the Gemara drays out of that, and the Gemara says, no, that's not possible. And it has to be that the Isra Hanoh is even more. There is a Anoda B'yuda that's mitzadet, that the Isra D'raisa is taka monetary. The din that a mace is also banor midaraisa, that is because of the monetary element. And then it is this is the rabbanon, even the non-monetary element. So taka, if a mace would say, use my eva, right? Midaraisa, you have clearance. She lets you use the eva. Midarabbanon, there would be an issa to use the eva. But that would be on a much lower level issa. But the Gemara's conclusion is that the mace cannot authorize the use of the eva. Except Peyanochus. Because Peyanochus is different than the body itself. But then the Gemara goes on to say, but if she doesn't say Tenu, then it is part of the body. So if it is part of the body, how does the Tenu help? If there's an Issa D'Raisa on the hair, the wig, because the wig is considered part of the body, so how does her saying give it away help? Which we go back to the first stage of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't explain that. The Gemara started by saying maybe authorization works, and the Gemara concluded that authorization does not work, which means you cannot authorize the use of one's body after they die. So it's not a possibility, and the sheitel is also because it's called a body. At least a connected wig, a wig that's properly connected to the head, that's called a body. So if that's the case, so then how does authorization work? That the Gemara doesn't explain. But somehow the authorization on that does work. No. It's tied into the hair. It's connected to the hair, like you tie the wig into the hair. So it's not just pinned, it's not just like a bobby pin. It's like woven, right? It's like woven into the hair. It's properly connected. So that the Gemara does not explain. Now, if you look in the sugya here, Rashi seems to imply that the irani dachas, the question of the wig is the wig a beged? Those are the two sides. Is the wig a beged, or is the wig the body? Those are obviously the two tzadim of the issue. So Rashi seems to say that if the wig is a beged, then it would have to get consumed with the city. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Sound notions that kani shelira nidacha shelayhutchu ima mahu." And he says, Rashi goes on to say, "Kaimelon tzadikim shebesoicha yoytzim mimenu arumim." They go out naked. The literal reading of Rashi sounds like that they go out without clothing. Zero. Nothing. They're wearing nothing. Now the halacha is that we don't paskin that way. We paskin that they actually do go out with the clothing. And that's a kasha they all ask on Rashi. So l'chayra, stam a question. The wig, mamon of shuchtei should be able to go out with. Because even if the wig is not considered part of the body, right? So it's not mamish part of the guf, but still no worse than the clothes. That's mistama why Rashi uses the lashon arumim. But that Gemara paskins that arumim they go out as well. They don't go. They take the clothing with them. So that creates a problem b'chlal. And additionally, the word arumim alone wouldn't be such a problem because the word arumim in Shas sometimes just means without nothing. It doesn't mean without clothing. Say the guy walked out of the deal naked. The Gemara says, Oroim min chosef. The guy could be naked from his property. It means he has his clothing. He's naked. I remember when I walked out from the closing, when I bought a house right after I got married. So that's the way I walked out. In the middle of the closing, I had to run out to borrow $500 because I wasn't aware of a certain fee. So I ran out in the middle of the closing to get $500. And I remember during the closing making a joke. The lawyer said, there's one other fee. So I took my tie off. I said, I'll give you my hat. I've exhausted all resources. So that's all. And I remember feeling I was naked. And the bank owned the house. So Shabbos, when I came to shul, everybody gave me mazel tov. I said, Bamas, it's the Williamsburg Bank now was claiming a house, not Chomish Kesheiches. So the word Olam doesn't have to mean nothing. So that's possible. That's possible. So the Minchas Chinuch actually is a very Geshmaka Shaila. He wants to say that whether the clothing of the person can be kept or not is totally if you hold Darshan time of the call, Loi Darshan time of the call. He says a very interesting Sfora to Minchas Chinuch. He says, what's the reason why the tzaddikim that are saved, the money gets destroyed? If they're tzaddikim, and they're saved because they're not considered part of the Yehoni Dachas, they should walk away with the property too. Why is their property get... So either you can learn it's a stomach zeres hakosav. But the Gemara also brings a svore. Because why was this tzaddik in the Yehoni Dachas? What was he doing there? The city consumed whatever the zora. The Gemara says, nechosav gorem aloi. He wanted for business reasons. For business reasons he was there. So there's a svara that since the business drove you into the city of Avodah Zarah, so your property should be consumed as well. Zokta min chaschunach ha-gaval de geshayla. But nobody was attracted to the city for their clothing. The clothing you need wherever you are. So the clothing didn't drive you into the city. And the Meili says, if you're old al-shin in time of the Kra, then the clothing doesn't get consumed. That's the man Domitz in the headland who says they can walk out with their clothing. But if you hold loydal shin in time in the kra, right? If you hold loydal shin in time in the kra, then the bottom line is the Torah says all the property gets consumed, including the clothing that they have. Everything got to get consumed. That's how he wants the taish. So it comes out it's not shvet. Rashi over here uses the terminology ahumim, because la locha we paskin loydal shin in time in the kra. So la locha Rashi held you don't even keep your clothing. So that would bridge the gap between these two sugyas. In other words, our sugya is going lahalocha. Lahalocha, unless something is mamish part of your body, so then it gets consumed. And that's why the only reason to save the wig is if the wig is mamish part of the goof, then it gets saved. Mashenkein, the mandama who holds that you don't get rid of the clothing, which would hold that the wig is a non-issue, because the wig is no worse than a dress, he would hold Tavshin in time of the car. We find the same machloikis where it says, Loisachbil beged almona. By an almona, you can't hold on to the mashkin, because that's what she uses to wear. Right? So the shayla is, what about an almona ashira? You have a wealthy almona. She has a whole closet full of clothing. What do you do with her? So it's a machloikis. If Shimitaka holds almona ashira, you don't have to, you could take the beged. Because if Shimon holds the ashira in time of the car. The Rambam paskins that all begot you can't take from almona. So the Rambam weiss the chos paskins loy darshin in time of the car. So I'm saying the fact that Rashi over here implies that, and the sugya implies that the tzaddik walks away with nothing except for something which is mamish's body is not such a chiddush, because that's going like if you hold loy darshin in time of the car. That's not so shvet. But the bottom line is that our Gemara is saying that the only reason to save the wig is because it's part of the body. And that's the reason why it would be Osabano. So how does the fact that she says, give it away to my child, how does that help? We should be back to the original problem. She said, go give my hand to my daughter, it won't work. Why should this be different? It's really very, very difficult. So let's finish off the last couple of ones, then we'll get back to Pshat. Says the Gemara, how could you say we're talking about a wig? It says the animal that's being killed, you can't use the shares. You can't share the wool off the animal. So L'chaira, over there we're not talking about a wig. So how could you tell me by the Isha we're talking about a wig? Says the Gemara, Elom Rav Nachman, I hold it means the hair mamish. It doesn't mean the wig, it means the hair mamish. Says the Gemara, so what's the difference? Rav Nachman says, Zu misasa oislasa, vizu gemaldina oislasa. That's a new svara. He says, by a behema, the Gemara din makes the behema osabano. So you don't need anything beyond that. Bezdin comes and says, this animal's a shah and this cow, it's osabano. You can't use anything of the animal. And the hair is part of the animal. By a woman, the Bezdin never paskid the woman is osabano. As I said, even a woman who's chayv misa, she's not osabano. So what's osir? What's osir is, like any mace, is osir. So the isser is only on a part of the body that dies. Hair is never called dead. Hair doesn't have death. That's the taich. So therefore, here is mutabano. This is very similar to Rav Unterman's svara that we discussed, that if you took the dead organ and you gave it life, then it would be permitted. Because there is no defining point that we say, oh, this woman became osabano. You can't have anor from the dead body. If it's now alive, or part of it is alive, mutabano. There's no shayla. So that's what the Gemara is saying here. The hair doesn't really die. And that's how Rashi, if you look at Rashi, that's how Rashi teaches. Rashi says, Lo ilam sara mamish. He says, Bor, udikashi loch yisuri ano ninu, loy kashi. The seir ameis loy mitzabano. The hair doesn't become osa, the loy domi l'seir behem shenelga. The isha misasa osrasa. The death is what kills her. V'seor lav bas misavu. Shein osri lishtanes. Now here Rashi gets himself into a whole problem. Against the controversy. Rashi says that the hair doesn't change after death. Now this you should know is a beferish Gemara. The Gemara says that you cannot check simonim on a body after death to define whether it's a girdle or a cotton because sarei samishtanis lachamisa. So they all ask on Rashi. The fact is that hair does change after death. Rashi uses a term, the sar enoi osi lishtanis. Hair doesn't change. So we'll get back to what Rashi means. But that's what he says. Avo behema gmar dino ischos. By an animal is the gmar din derasos. So therefore when Bezdin paskes that the animal is also bahano, the whole animal is also including the hair. Says the Gemara, we have a braisa supporting both opinions. Says the Gemara, Tono Levi kavosei derav, Tono Levi kavosei derav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Tono Levi kavosei derav, Hoyisha sheyotze lehoreg, if a woman goes out to be killed, v'omo, Tenu sa'ari labiti, give my hair, noisnim. Mesa, ein noisnim, ipnei sha'ameis, also bahano. Pshite. Poshita ha'meis is also bahano. Elo shenoy hameis also bahano. So you see that we're talking about a wig. We're talking about noy. Tanya kavosi do Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. It says a isha shemeisa nenim besara. If a woman dies, you could benefit from her hair. Beema shenelga also bahano. Can benefit. Ma hefresh bein zel azeh zoom isasa osrasa. And it doesn't. Therefore, the hair didn't die. The zu gmal dino oishlos. And this is the gmal din. That's the gmal. Okay. So bashkofa rishoina, it seems from our Gemara that the ikar shaila here is, A, whether hair bachlal is also bano, and that will have to clarify, whether hair is also bano at all. The Gemara seems to say that possibly hair is mutabano because there's no death by hair, which Rashi explains to mean that the hair doesn't change. And the problem we have is that besides for scientifically speaking, the Gemara says black and white, that hair does change after death. Simonim mishtanim lachamisa. That's that. And then we have a problem on understanding the first side of the Gemara, which is that really here is also ba'anoa, but here we're talking about a peah nachris. We're talking about a wig. And if the wig is woven to the body, possibly Then it's called part of the body. And that's why it's also Ba'anoa. The child then has to know help. How does giving it help? Okay, now if we take a little bit of a transfer here to Hilchas Krishma, and also the Halach and Krishma also ties into the Shail of wigs Bechlau. We're very used to that wigs is no Shail. But you should know by many of the Sfaradim, they treat a wig like hair. They absolutely prohibit wearing a wig. They only permit a wig if the wig is already in such a way that nobody would want to wear it. You know, if it doesn't look like hair. If a woman had a wig, which is number one, not human, right? Number two, not human looking. Because human looking also they hold as a problem. Right? You wouldn't be able, then you can wear it. As I said, the kind of wig that they would allow to wear, none of your wives would be masculine to wear. The kind that they would hold as a model is awesome. And really, our sugya is a shtickle mocker to that. Because our sugya seems to say that the wig is part of the body. And at least if it's mechuber properly, it's part of the body. You have to know woven, a net. They have other things that connect it to the hair. If it's properly connected to the hair. So the Gemara seems to be saying it's part of the guf. So if it's part of the guf, and now it's also by Noah because it's called her hair, so it should be also to walk around like that. That's number one. The Ramah, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, which we brought down in the Ma'ar Makomos here in Simenai and Hay, the Mechaber brings down that you're not allowed to read Kriya Shema if a woman's hair is uncovered. Sar shel isha shadarka lachasreis also likreis kenegdoi. You're not allowed to read Kriya Shema with that hair is uncovered. Avol besulois, but single woman, shadarka leilich prus reish muter. The Ramah comes and he says, Hu adin sara shel noshim, sheregilois lotseis michutz lotzimson. The part, the little bit of hair that comes out anyway is also permitted. The kol shekein sar nochris. Sar nochris, the way they explain that to mean, if you look in the Berhetev, sar nochris means peya nochris. Right? That's how the Berhetev explains it. It means peya nochris. Afilu darka lachazis. Okay. Even if she has a custom to cover the shekel, you know, like chassidim a lot of times wear a shekel, and a hat on top of the shekel. So even if she normally wears that hat, and now she takes the hat off, you could still read Krishna, Kenega the Seir, the Peyanach. So the Mogan Avraham here brings down that this is the Psak, brings down the Shilta Giborim. So if you take a look, we brought down the Shilta Giborim here in the Ma'ar Makomos. On Choftes, page Choftes, the top Shilta Giborim de Ois Aleph, he says the fact that the Mishnah in Shabbos talks about a woman going out with a wig is a raya. You could wear a wig. First, he starts off that the two sugyas seem to contradict each other. The sugya by us that says that Peya Nochris is part of the hair, and the sugya in Shabbos that says that a woman could go out as a stira. So he still points that out. He says, Yeroh Mizel Ovi Rayu Smach. We could bring a raya from the Mishnah in Shabbos. L'noshim ayotzois b'nichsei saroi shalohem k'shem nesuis. They go out with their hair uncovered. He says it's okay. Avo b'mokom klia saro nesuis soreis chavoy seyem shekoyin k'chaino. They walk out with this. This is woven, which is their friend's hair, meaning it's natural hair, human hair. They put on nice hair. Sarno, this is a critical thing because this was a whole tumult I'm sure you all are aware of, that there was a whole shayla about wearing a nice shekel. I get this shayla all the time. People ask me, how could a woman wear a nice shekel? If the whole point of covering the hair is modesty, and they have shekels that are nicer than the hair. They should wear a hat or whatever, a snood. But if you're wearing a shekel that's nicer than your hair, and the truth is, Roiv Noshim Mistama, the shekel is nicer. Especially after you start wearing a shekel. Right? So the hair is the hair that the shekel is nicer. And that's really bichlal not a taina. Now, whether you can wear a shekel or not is a separate issue. But the taina that it looks nice, that's not a taina. And I'll be very prost for a minute just to give you clarity. If somebody is obese, right, they will look much better not sneistic than yet sneistic. So say, you know what, for you, fakelt. The more you machasa, the worse it is. That's not a taina. Either something is an elva or it's not an elva. And if it has to be covered because it's an elva, so it has to be covered because it's an elva. If after you, because it's covered because of an elva, many people look better with their clothes on. So what? Doesn't make sense. Oh, some meloi bazoi is clothing. The clothing shouldn't be worn. That's really a very it's an argument that's very weak, argument to say that there's a different issue. Whether a natural shekel is permitted, it's a different shayla. It goes into the peyanochra shayla. But as far as saying that just the fact that it looks nice, you see the shilta geberim uses a lotion. It's nice hair. They use nice hair. No woman is going to wear a peyanochis. That's not nice. They wear peyanochis. It's nice hair. He says, v'tosamoy se'isha aloysha k'dei she'tiskashe pisah. She does it to beautify herself with the hair. So this is not a new custom. The shilta geberim brings it down as a minig in his time. And he says, Va'osam be'isha nesua maidi. Talking about isha nesua, b'digamu b'gemore, the gemore over there says, Atam isham shaloi tizganal bailo. Harei b'nesua maidi. Va'arei peya nochus avimamish kein elu akhaindlach. It's the same thing. U'mashma lehed yashem uteres b'nois Yisrael iskashet b'hem. And here's what he says, his punchline. Disal be'isha elva dika'oma, Loihavi elabisar hadovuk lipsora mamish. Hair is an erva only if it's coming out of her head. That would mean that if a woman, let's say, got a hair transplant, that would be a problem. That's coming out of her head. So even though it's foreign hairs, maybe, but that would be a problem. But he says if it's not coming out of her head, then it's not a problem. Vinira gam besoro imaseo. And if you went through the hair, you wouldn't be going down to a net. You would be going down to her hair. That's a problem. He says, "I will say her amachasa saara." But if she has foreign hairs, outside hairs covering her hairs, ain kam mishum saar beisha elva. There's no shail of elva. V'gam loy mishum prus leish. V'niran, he says a bigger chiddush. Listen to this: a woman could make a human hair shekel out of her own hair. Hair, and it'll still be permitted. Should take get a haircut, right? And then make a, you know, to match, you want to match your hair. Use your hair. Noch besser. You know? By the chassidim, some chaisen, they used to have a minig in Europe where actually the peyanochus of the wife was from the hair of her chassi. So they used to save the hair from upshel, and they would make a peyanochus out of it, and then they would wear that after the chassi. The kala would wear that after the chassi. So he says here, the loish no saras, the dove loish no saras shall chaverta. Doesn't matter who's here. Kol oy davidi leksuyas asar veintlushes. Af al gav de kisha tu lo. Even though it's for beautification, he can't be more specific than he is, the shulta gibbon. Doesn't matter, it's for beautification. Kedei she teiroe balasar. She's doing it to look like she has hair. She's making it natural. Still okay. Ein bekach klum v'shapur dumb. Now he comes to our sugya. Says our sugya is a problem because our sugya seems to imply that if she has hair woven into her hair, connected to her hair, then that becomes part of her body. The peyanochis hamuchuboris l'sar mamish, havi keguva mamish. So tamashva is part of the body. Then he goes on. He doesn't explain this properly. He says, Mikomokom lo nesar bishvilkach lotzeis boi uliskashe. Why? Do al kochach oisem tzidkonius de koma osam, the hair that we're talking about in our sugi with the Iran Idachas, hoyu miskashteis bepeyas ahem, ubinisuus mairi osam de koma tnusar libiti. So he goes and he says like this. He says, I feel that the reason why it's permitted, So Shulta Gibarim doesn't give us any Havana in our sugya, the two stadim of our Gemara. But he's using the Maskana of our Gemara as proof that it's a non-issue. Because in our Gemara, you see, if she says, give my shetel to my daughter, they're allowed to give it to her. So you see, it's not mamish to her. So he's really using the maskona. He's using the maskona as a raya that it's okay. But our problem is we don't understand the maskona. If the Gemara seems to be saying that if the hair is goofa, it's awesome. So how does the tenu help? And however the tenu helps, what is he gaining by doing what he's doing? The whole thing is very difficult. Very difficult. But this is the way, this Shulta Gibarim really is the basis to our minhag in a halacha, that we treat anything but natural hair coming out of the head as something which is permitted. Again, I'm not talking, there was a kolkera over the years in different, very choshev, Talmid Chachamim and Goinim, that maybe women shouldn't wear long shetels, they shouldn't wear this. But that's already getting into Pratim. But the concept that hair that's not coming out of the skull is not recognized, out of the scalp, is not recognized as Sar Be'isha, is an accepted thing amongst all B'nai Ashkenaz. Right? And that is because we look at it like the Maskana of our Gemara. But the problem is that our Maskana of our Gemara is only going on the Tzad that she said Tanu. And it's unclear why that Tanu makes a difference, and whatever difference it makes, why should that make a difference in Halacha? Okay, so I want to try to give a little bit of a beer. Tzvi, do you mind getting a chazanish on your day? And a Tiferes Yisrael, Mishnayos Yochanan Boyez on Erechim. Now, if you look in the Rambam actually paskins that hair is permitted. So the Rambam stays clear of this whole problem. Because the Rambam says, Hameis also ba'ano kulei chutz misa'aroi, v'mnei she'enei gufoi. And the Rambam says an even bigger chiddush. Our Gemara seems to say the reason why the hair is permitted is because there's no death to the hair, which we had difficulty understanding. What does that mean, there's no death? The hair is still, the hair does change. The Gemara says that the hair changes. Rashi says the hair doesn't change. The Gemara says that the hair changes eventually. So that's that. But the Rambam says it's enei gufa. Right? Then he goes on to the Oren and the Tachrichim and everything else. The Chain. So we're going to get back to that Rambam, what the Rambam is saying here. But that's what he says. So the Rambam and Rashi don't seem to be the same sheet. Even though we'll see there's a way to bridge the gap, all the Achronim here spend great time in trying to clarify this Rambam. Because the Rambam seems to be coming out with a new shot out of the box. Because the Gemara seems to be saying it's all based on that if a person dies, the hair didn't die. Misosa is chosa. The Rambam gives a whole new reason. Which, according to the Rambam, the Gemara should have said that. The Gemara should have said, Zu ain't a gufa. Period. It's obvious that the reason why the Gemara didn't say that is the Gemara had a raya that hair is part of the body from Behema. Because Behema is also by another hair. The Behema is also by another. So the reason why the Gemara couldn't tell us, why didn't the Gemara read like the Rambam? That would have been the most kishmak pshat. The Gemara could have said exactly as the Rambam makes it very simple. Hair is not part of the body. End of story. Right? The Gemara didn't say that. Why didn't the Gemara say that? It's a very simple reason why the Gemara didn't say that. Because by an animal, the hair is called part of the body. You're allowed to have anor from tachshitim on the animal. You're only not allowed to have anor from the animal itself. And you're not allowed to have anor from the wool. So you see that the hair is called part of the body. That's not an option. So, what I want to be mevar here is like this. In the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim, in Simon Shin Mem Tes, Yerodea, there's a whole discussion as to whether ornaments that the mace has is mutter b'hano. Let's say instead of it being hair, a wig, which the Gemara is coming out by us according to the opinion who holds that hair is also b'hano, the Gemara basically is saying a wig is like hair. Maskana of our Gemara is that a wig and hair is the same thing. The only difference between a wig and a hair is that a wig has an ability for her to separate it, to say, give it away. But if she doesn't say the magic words, the wig and the hair is the same. One opinion in the Gemara holds hair is mutter b'hanoah, for whatever reason. And the other opinion holds hair and the wig is asur b'hanoah. The only chiluk in halacha between the wig and the hair is if she said, you can have anoah for my wig. We don't, again, that's not clear why. But if she says you can have anoah for my wig, then it's the issa goes off. That seems to be the only shakl of atari in our Gemara, this way and that way. So I want to be mevarer to you like this. So what happens with tachshitim? The Gemara asks that l'chayra we see that peyanachris is not part of the hair from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And the Gemara said that's different over there because in Sanhedrin, we're talking about a wig that's not properly connected. Okay? So what happens if you have other tachshitim on the body that are connected, that are properly connected? So l'mashal, a woman has a pierced earring with a connected earring into the ear. So just going from the simple reading of our Gemara, the logic would dictate, you can't use it. Unless she said, give my earring away. It should be equivalent to a connected wig. He said, a wig which is connected is part of her body, unless she says, give it away. It should be the same. But that's a tremendous chiddush. There are poskim that imply that they hold that way. Because when the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that a wig that she has to say, give it away in order for them to be able to use it, the poskim say that's because it's connected. But a ring on her finger, or an earring, that even it's not mechuber. So there, even if she doesn't say, give it away, the woman's wearing a necklace. The necklace is mutabana, because it's not connected. So that would imply that at least those poskim hold that there's an equation. A wig is like any tachshit. If it's connected to the body, it's part of the body. If it's not connected to the body, it's not part of the body. That seems to be the... But in Sfora, we don't find anywhere in Shas this concept that anything other than a wig should be also bahana. The only issue we have at all in Shas is this inyan, that a wig which is connected to the head... So, That's what I want to get to. So the question is, how much does that distinction play a role? A wig is a disguise, right? A wig is trying to make something look like it's part of the body. The ring is not, there's no attempt to make that ring should look like part of the body. The question is, should that make a difference in halacha or not? So I want to be mevar to you one poshut yisoid, which I think with this we can get clarity in everything else. There's a shaila in Hilchos Nida about a filling. If a woman has a filling, if it's a chatzitz. Recently they had a tshuva that was circulating about braces. The woman has to have braces removed to go to the mikveh. For years and years they have not been removing braces. But now, there's been recently a tshuva that was circulating that women have to have their braces removed. And then have it reinstalled afterwards. So that some wanted to say this came out, this tshuva was written from the orthodontists. Because it would be a whole new parnasa. Right? You have to get your monthly installation. Lamaisa, by a filling, it's very negeya. And I get this shaila, not monthly, I get the shaila weekly and sometimes daily, but weekly for sure, where a woman has a temporary filling. There's no question that if you have a permanent filling, you don't have to have it drilled out to go to the mikveh. That's not a shy. But what happens if you have a filling that the doctor, that the dentist says he's going to now take out, and he's going to fill it in again with something more permanent? Is that a chatzitz? So the logic dictates that it should be a chatzitz. The logic is it should be a chatzitz. Like any foreign thing that's put onto the body temporarily, is a chatzitz. I've been getting a lot of shyness lately about the gel on the nails. That woman put on the gel on the nails, they go to the mikveh. It seems it's a gel, it's a clear gel that's applied onto the nail, and it makes the nail more, the surface, smoother. And it's something they leave on permanently. And as it cracks or whatever, they fill it in. So it has a big mila. It's much better than, let's say, nail polish. Because nail polish is removed. Put it on for a day or two or three, then you remove it. You put on a new nail polish. This is really applied permanently. So that makes it much better. That makes it much less problematic in halacha. So again, you have to find out the pratim. You know, some people ask me to shy, they say they're putting it on for a couple of weeks. Then I say it's no good. You got to have it removed to go to the mikveh. If it's something that's on mamish permanently, then that makes it much better. So a nail, when we talk about a filling, some hold that you have to have that temporary filling removed. Right? And it's unquestionable that if a woman is scheduled to go to the mikveh, she should try to coordinate that the filling that's put into her mouth should be permanently put in before going to the mikveh. That's not a shaila. The shaila is b'dieved if you don't have that matzav. So what do you do? Many hold it's not a chatzitz. So I held in svara like that shita for a simple reason. When you put something permanently onto the body, so now it becomes bottled to the body, right? And that's why it's not a chatzitz. The reason why something that's on the body permanently is because now it's part of the goof. And therefore it's bottled to the goof. One of the reasons why even dirt, that's eno makbid olav, if it's a small amount, is not chatzitz, is because it's bottled, Rashi says, it's bottled to the body. Becomes part of the goof. Part of the body. But, so I wanted to make this chiluk, and this ties into Dovid, but by teeth it's even better. By teeth, I wanted to say a svara, that tooth that has the hole is missing something. You're naturally missing something in that tooth. So now, you're putting a filling in that tooth. That filling is there to remain always. And if it's a temporary filling, it's also meant to be there always. It's just going to have to be replaced with another filling. So when it's there, when it's in the tooth, it's substituting for permanency. It's not there as a sub to come in for a day and to leave. Then we say, well, that place needs tefillah, because that place ultimately is going to be uncovered, and that place needs tefillah. But here I'm putting in something which I always want there. And I'm going to then have to replace it. But it's all to fill in, to make the tooth complete, shleimustik. That's already not a chatzitza. Even though you plan to fix it, that's not a chatzitza, that's more part of the body. When you talk about hair, there's a big difference, right? So that's this difference that we're discussing. When a woman puts on an earring, lamosha, right? And even if she puts on an earring in a permanent fashion, right? It's not there to replace the body. It's there to adorn. It's a tachshit. Tachshit. You don't even want it to look like part of the body. That wouldn't be a tachshit. Right? Even though today some... But lamaisa, you don't want it to be part of the body. You want it to look like something outside it. Right? The hair, on the other hand, is there to be a chelik of the body. That's the tachshit. The tachshit of the hair is that it should be actually part of the body. I still have difficulty saying that halachically it should become osubano or not. Still problematic. But I would say as follows. It depends on what the isra no of a mace is. Okay? If we learn that the isra no from a mace is because it's a zilzul to the mace. It's a zilzul to the mace that you're using part of them, part of the body of the mace, you're using it for your own tzrachim. If that's the gather of the iser, then it's very logical that it's a perceptive iser, not a conceptual iser. It's a perceptive iser. And therefore, perception-wise, anything which is associated to the body, imemel is also banor. Because perception-wise, you're using the body. If it's a zilzal issue. If, however, the isser of the mace is a conceptual isser, it's an isser that a mace, just like oil is also bahano, and basal b'cholov is also bahano, that's a scientific isser. So then I have to go and put this into the laboratory, say, is this part of the body, is it not part of the body? The answer is a roaring no. It's not part of the body. And then it's permitted. And that, I believe, is the nidoin of whether the peyanochris is also bano or not also bano. The tzad that it's also bano is because it depends how you learn the isra'no of a maze. So now I want to tell you very simple. Since the isra of ano of the sar is because of the peyanochris, is because the maze now associated that hair with her body, so she can also apesha osa and apesha hita. She could say, this is not my body. This is actually, I want my daughter to wear this. The whole Isser is only the perception of it. The perception of it is that it's part of the body. So since the Isser is a perceptive Isser, she can also disassociate with it. She has a koyach to say no. On the other hand, she can't disassociate with her hair because that's chemically part of her body. So she says, well, that's not part of my body. She can't do that. It is part of her body. Ilu Omra, that's the Gemara. Ilu Omra, to know Yodi Labiti. She said, give my hand to my daughter. Could we give her our hand? No, because the hand is part of the goof. Now, I want to tell you, I think it goes even further. I want to tell you, I believe that both are true. The mace is also Bano, and that's like an Isra of Basra B'cholof, and Orla. And then there's an Isra we find in Chazal, anything which is associated to the body, the dead body. L'moshel, Tachrichim, also Bano. Okay? All these other things are also Asubano. So what do you see? You see that not only is the body Asubano, but things that are associated to the dead body is Asubano. If you look in the Rambam doesn't put down Tachrichim as a separate Isser. Look in the Lashon Rambam. The Rambam says, Hameis Asubano kuloi, chutz misaroi, v'chein aroinoi, v'chol tachricho v'asurim banoi. The Rambam says, v'chein. This is all one din. So I want to tell you that the Isra Hanoah of the Peyanochis, the Isra Hanoah to have Hanoah from the Peyanochis, that is midin tachrichim. It's associated with the body. Tachrichim is associated with the dead body because that's how you bury a dead body. The Oren is associated with the goof because you bury the body with the Oren. The sar, the peyanoch, is associated with the body because it's been because she associated it to the body. And that's the reason now. If you look in Chazon Ish, in Yoredeya, there's a little piece on this inyan in Ilchos Aveilus, and he says as follows. This is Simon Reish Ches in the Chazon Ish. Sa'ar shomei sosu ba'anoe. And then he gets to the union of Peyanochris. He says the Yesh Loimar. Rav says that the Peyanochris is also the Avi Kemoi Tachrichim Shomeis. This is like the tachrichim. This is associated to the mace. An earring is associated to the chai. It's not part of the chai. It's associated to the chai. Tachrichim is associated to the mace. Tachrichim is also banoi. He says that the shekel has the mile of tachrichim. Because she associated it to her body by connecting it to her body and trying to substitute the tzura of the guf. And therefore it's also. But again, now it makes a lot of sense why the Gemara didn't even have to be mazbe at this point. The Gemara doesn't spend any time explaining why her disassociation with it makes it mutter. Because it's an associated isser. The isser of the peyanochris is its association. The Gemara has to say, explain, and tackle why if she says no, it's not. Because that's Pesha also Pesha Hita. The Gemara says it's a Svara. Lomli Kro Svara. It's a Svara. It's Pesha like that. So that's what I believe is the Bio in the Peyanochris issue, the Tut Stodom of the Gemara. And that's Pesha in the Shulta Gibbon. Hilchos Arayos doesn't go with association. Either it's an Erev or it's not an Erev. We go back to the laboratory. When we're talking about Arayos, we're going back into the laboratory. And laboratory speaking, a Peah Nochris is not a hair. Peah Nochris is a new set of hair. That's not coming out of her head. And therefore, the Elamai, what he's saying, well, she associates it with her body. So what? If a woman would wear a dress and be mevatalit to her body, she still wouldn't be an Elva. She associates it to her body. So what? She sleeps with it, she eats with it, that's her body. So what? Still mutter. Still read Krishma Kenegdo. Because the association doesn't answer. By a mace, it's different. By a mace, association does answer. And the biggest ray is the Oren and Tachrichin. And that's why I think is the Hezbad of in that whole side of the Gemara of Peah Nochris. And explains the Sugya and Shabbos, explains the Luchos Krishma, explains our Gemara, and why our Gemara didn't need to explain this point. I believe that that's the two stardom of the Gemara Yoda, going back to the beginning of the Gemara. When the Gemara said that if she says Yoda, it should also be okay, the Gemara understood that there's a difference between Yad and Sar. But the Gemara was bothered that Kishen, that the mace can say, I'm disassociating myself with my hair, so she should also be able to say, I'm disassociating myself with my arm. The Gemara answers no. You can only make a disassociation with something that you created the connection. If you created the connection, then you have the ability, apesha osa, hu apesha hita. So the sheitel is something the woman created the connection. She has the ability to create the disconnection. Lumoshel, an amputee, rachmona litzlon, has a connected leg, an artificial leg, or an artificial arm. And they say, I want you to give that arm to my relative. It'll be the same thing. They created the association. They have the ability to disassociate. That's the Hezbollah. So that's what I think is it. Now getting to the Rambam, that already it's a long thing on its own, the Rambam. So maybe next week we'll just touch on it briefly before we go into, but next week we're going to be learning the Sugya and Psochim on Daf Kuf Tes Zayin, Omid Beis. The Mishnah starts on the bottom of Omid Aleph from Gamliel Omer. We're going to do the entire Amud and the Ran on that Mishnah, as well as the Rambam on that Mishnah, the Marsha on that Mishnah as well. And okay, that should be enough.